What's going on, everybody? Welcome to On Screen Live. My name is Andrew Jupin. Happy Monday. Good afternoon, good evening, or good morning, depending upon where you are finding our fine program today. Hey, you know, happy birthday, Donald Sutherland. One of the all-time greats turns 88 today. Another great guy, Alex Winter, of course. Happy birthday to him, 58. Check out his new movie, The YouTube Effect. Great guy, great actor, great filmmaker. What else are we going on? Hello, Bucyrus 87, Sandwich Jones. I love that. Very Gooster. Hello, Sauce Billigan, Michael Brooks, A Chance 42. Thanks for hanging out in the chat. And congratulations to Dead & Company for rounding out their farewell tour just last night in San Francisco. Thanks for the music, fellas. All right, so speaking of good guys and good fellas and good buds of mine, let's bring them in here to talk about some movies and movie-related business. We have up first Mr. Eric Siska.
Oh, hello.
Hello, I like, there.
We definitely have to keep this going, like an Entertainment Tonight, like the birthday segment. Yep. I kind of like that.
Yeah, right? Because I just noticed something. Dude, so here's the thing. It was like Donald Sutherland trending. I was like, goo-goo.
Uh-oh.
And I had to click on that.
His birthday. Tomorrow, he'll be dead. The next time he trends, he'll be dead.
That's right. And speaking of someone who could wake up dead at any second, Mr. Steven Sadak.
Hi, everybody. Hi.
Hello.
I got to say, just because I saw it in the chat, Very Gooster, you're right. I can't wait for our Jersey City show as well.
That's right.
Coming up at the end of the year.
Right, here. On December 7th at White Eagle Hall in New Jersey, Jersey City, New Jersey.
It's pretty fun. They all around New Jersey, they plaster signs that we're coming. It's fun to be part of the conversation.
Pretty cool.
And by conversation, really, I mean the crazy meth heads that hang out outside of the liquor store / pharmacy.
Is that close to the venue? Can our fans meet and greet them?
they're about a 7-minute walk away.
Okay, there you go. You can do the whole night.
I'll take a picture with yous.
I was in there the other day, and some guy was like, "You keep kicking people out of here, man. It's just like, guess you don't like money." And he's like, "Well, you tried to steal something." And he's like, "Yeah, but if I was running the place, I'd be like, come on in. Your money's always good here."
And I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, speaking of dudes who've been kicked out of a liquor store or two, please welcome Chris Cabin.
Well, then the last thing I ever wanted to do was to actually get into the ring with Van Morrison, but it turned out I had to. I had to bare knuckle box Van Morrison to use his song in my beautiful movie Until the End of the World. And know what? I knocked out that Irish prick.
Hey, excellent stopping point, Chris. Is that the end of a chapter there?
Yeah, it's the end. Oh, I mean, it's a collection. This is Wim Wenders' emotional pictures.
What a beautiful writer.
Wonderful guy. And it's just like little bits on like movies and songwriters he likes and songwriters he beat up.
Oh, okay.
I would love that. Just a diary of violence, you know?
There's plenty of them, Eric.
Yeah, that's actually true.
Vim Vendors, A Diary of Violence. I like that.
Yeah, very, very off key for Vim, but you know, I like when people try new things. Speaking of new things, we got a new movie that's number one at the box office. Let's check around what's going on in the top five. This is Highest Grip. So I have to say right out the gate, by the way, out of the top five, first time since its release, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Finally.
Vaya con Dios. Who knows? I mean, it may tick back up next week, but for right now, in at number five was the money pit known as Elemental.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it kind of coming back? Is that happening?
It's kind of slowly doing something. I mean, not enough that it's not going to make this $200 million budget embarrassing, but it is holding in nicely.
Yeah. Okay. Word of mouth, they heard it's a very steamy movie. Fire and water get together.
Disney is doing a very interesting marketing bit where they're paying it forward to themselves.
They're
spending their own money and then giving it back to themselves.
Help Bob Iger have a robust holiday season this year.
He hates dips. Doesn't he, folks? He hates dips.
I fucking hate that guy. Speaking of people I don't hate, Indiana Jones, His fifth and final outing was number 4 at the box office.
Still have it. Still got to get to this one. Really need to do it.
I think it's worth on the big screen if you're going to do it at all.
That's kind of where I'm at. Yeah, I need to get there. But it's, there's a lot of movies coming out this weekend, folks.
No, you're totally right, dude. And more coming. But this is another $12 million. That puts it around over $145 million domestically. Still not touching that $295 million price tag. No. But, you know.
I mean, Steve, soon enough, you've got like 2 weeks till this thing's on Disney Plus.
Yeah, that's it.
The clock is a ticking.
Mm. They didn't announce that. You're just being facetious. No,
I'm just saying. I figure I'm going to hear it any day now.
It would be a fun time on the big screen, though.
I was surprised that Guardians is already on Disney Plus.
Oh, is it really?
It is, yeah.
Okay, I can finally watch it.
Watching it?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. You know, I might give a look back then, because that was one of those, like, it wasn't what I wanted it to be. And I always say, like, that's not the movie's fault. And that to me is always like reevaluate a little bit. So I might check it out at some point. Not in any rush, of course. Holding in sort of nicely here at number 3 is Insidious The Red Door. Still making buku bucks, man. Look at this. Another $13 million.
Now, none of this $13 million is losers buying tickets. Millionaire losers buying tickets to make the movie seem more successful, right?
Is that correct? Okay. No, you are correct on that. We will address that in seconds.
Okay, just curious. I want to make sure, because some of these numbers get tampered with and you don't know which is which.
You're very true.
Only Disney and Jim Caviezel have that kind of power to do that stuff.
This is now putting it just north of $58 million on a $16 million budget. So
that's what you want to see.
Sony is having a good time this summer with that.
And, Go Patrick Wilson.
Patrick Wilson. Patrick Wilson. Yeah, love that dude, man. My guy. And, you know, I assume at some point, get ready for Insidious 6, The Green Door. What's behind the green door?
That'd be nice.
Oh, my mom is dead behind the green door.
Watch it, because you're definitely going to get a slowed down of that version of that song as the trailer is sung.
Right, with the Victorian ghost doing it.
Door.
But here's what we're talking about. Number 2 at the box office in its second week, Sound of Freedom. Now look at these numbers here. Another $27 million.
Wow.
It now is just north of $85 million domestic. It added over 300 screens for this week. Now, Steve, as you talked about, they have instituted this thing, the Pay It Forward initiative for this movie. Now, Steve, could you explain the viewers at home just what that is? Oh,
I don't know about that. I just please, thank you.
Go for it.
Like, you can buy out theaters, you can buy tickets, and there are places where it's listed of like theaters where they have like screenings that have, you know, these are available tickets if you want to come and see the movie for free.
Right.
You can. I know the UFC guy Dana White has done a major purchase.
Sure, anything to get away from his fucking battery stories.
And then there was a couple other majors that I'm forgetting at this moment. But that's essentially anybody can go in and see the movie if they so wish.
But these psychos, they're obsessed with like trafficking children and all this type of stuff. You know,
but
pay it forward by not having fucking kids. Stop it. You want them not to be touched? Don't fucking have them.
That's good point.
Good one.
But here's the thing, though. The thing that's very important about this, though, is what we want people to understand about this number here. This does not necessarily equate to audience interest. As Chris said, this is like people are just mass buying tickets. And should you choose, you could go up and see it for free.
Yeah.
But as far as like theaters reporting grosses are concerned, and certainly as far as Angel Studios is concerned, money is money.
Yes,
exactly right. But this does not mean that $27 million worth of ticket holders went through a theater door this weekend and saw this fucking movie. It just means this is the money that was put towards tickets, and they will never, just like how you will never see legitimate streaming numbers. I mean, maybe, you know, if the strike can pull through some stuff here, that'll change. But like, just how you don't see that now, you will never see what that equates to as far as like actual ticket exchanged for ass in seat. You'll never see it.
Well, but it's such an important movie, guys. It's such an important movie. I mean, and if you are against it, then I guess you must like children getting trafficked, which I think is pretty weird on your part.
It's literally what someone said to me on social media over the weekend. What kind of a person is against a movie blowing the lid on this? And it's like
blowing the lid, by the way.
On what?
It's a documentary film here.
That's what a journalist did. Motion picture.
Did you guys see the videos going around of like the white women having conspiracies about this movie? About like, well, there's no air conditioning in the theater because they want it to fail.
Something's fishy.
They got kids downstairs, I bet.
Me and Joel Schumacher were watching, we're trying to watch Spectre, and then they put on Spotlight, and we're like, oh my God, it's Hollywood's plan to stop me from watching this new James Bond movie.
Yep, that's right.
For blowing the lid off Christoph Waltz being his cousin or whatever the fuck.
Summer Vacation Brothers, I believe.
Stepbrother is.
Yeah.
And this is more about, I think, what we're getting at here. And speaking of Schumachers, Steve, a viewer in the chat, Daniel Schumacher, makes this excellent point. It does occur to him that this money could be spent actually fighting child trafficking instead of playing movies in empty theaters. You're absolutely fucking right. And this is what we're getting to. This is a fictionalized, you know, dramatized narrative film. Even documentaries are skewed, man. So no one's blowing the lid off anything. You're right. You want to help people, Dana White? Donate millions to fucking organizations that do this.
And I saw something, some asshole, some lunatic was like, I just watched this movie. And like, the next time you see someone, you see a kid in a grocery store having a panic attack or freaking out, having to throw a tantrum, you got to check that out. Because 9 times out of 10, that's just a kid doing a tantrum. The other time, it's somebody getting trapped. Like, no, 999,000 times out of a million is a tantrum.
Well,
.0000001%.
I get your meaning, Steve, but still, I think you should just steal the kid just to be safe. Right then, right there, just take the kid, and you know what? It's going to be safer with you. You know it in your heart. You watch Jim Caviezel pretend to be a guy who did this stuff. Don't you think that you now know better than everybody fucking else?
Just start asking, hey, is that your kid? Is that your kid?
Yeah.
Holding hands with the kid in public. How about sounds pretty gay to me. Is that your kid?
Mind your own fucking business, all right?
How about that? Yep. Mm-hmm. Go to the store, get your fucking Miller Lite, and get the fuck out.
No. Oh, that would be too depressing. No. They mind their own business, they're going to get really sad
real quick. When I leave the house, I become a justice warrior.
Well, not social justice.
No, just justice. Justice warrior.
Right. As in a Supreme Court justice warrior.
Yeah. And we'll talk about it, of course, a little later, but no surprise here. Number one at the box office, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, which wound up being about 56.2 on the 3-day, did a little over 80 on the 5-day. So, like, not an amazing opening, but with global, it's on track to being much better than indie and some of the other big money wasters we've seen so far this
like
season.
The Flash.
Like The Flash, exactly. Indeed. And then just a couple quick things on the art market this weekend. A Theater Camp opened from Searchlight Pictures. Saw this at Sundance last year. And where do we have this here? It was Sundance, I guess, earlier this year. $270,000 in a limited release on 6 screens. That's about $45,000 per. And another, this is another thing just to point out, just like Asteroid City, 50% of this box office was between 25 and 34 year old audience members.
Good cast.
Very cool. Good cast. It's a funny movie. It's like a less good Waiting for Guffman, but it's funny. Searchlight paid $8 million out of Sundance, which is nuts, but not the worst that they've paid out of things at Sundance.
Am I remembering correct? Molly Gordon is in it. Who is like Molly Gordon? Favorite.
Yeah, she's one of the co-directors best. Along with Nick Lieberman too.
Fantastic. Yeah,
totally funny movie. And then another one really quickly, the new one from Christian Petzold, who's an amazing filmmaker. A Fire opened very limited from our friends at Janice and Sideshow with 39.2K on 4 screens, which is 9.8K per. Not too bad, but Christian Petzold makes excellent movies.
I'm seeing it tomorrow.
To see this. Oh, you got your tickets?
I'm going to go see it tomorrow. Yeah, nice. I especially love if you are looking for an entryway, Undine, his last movie.
It's great.
Phenomenal piece of work. Just really, really worth your time.
Transit, Phoenix, great movies.
Really
great
good movies.
That's what's going on in the box office here. Now, real quick, as far as the home video market concerns, want to do a little self-serving plug here, folks. Ooh. Scream 6.
Ooh,
yes. There we go. Is on Blu-ray and digital now. You can rent that. And if you get the disc, the commentary, just going to say it, drops a little more clues as to how we got our art in the motion picture.
We Indeed. Came out of the ceiling like Thomas Cruise.
That's right.
Placed it on the wall.
Stole the knock list, put the poster on the wall. Yeah, exactly.
I can imagine myself at a Best Buy trying to buy the last Scream 6. Like, there's a blurb about me in there. A blurb? You are a blurb.
Then you get the shipping out of you in airplane bathroom.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we just wanted to put that out there. Now, as we were saying, folks, of course, shit ton of movies coming out and more on the way. It never stops. And one of the ways we keep track of it all is with a tiny, cleverly titled segment we like to call Trailer Segment. Now, as always, if you're watching along on YouTube, we do have the link below in the show description if you want to watch along. First one up, speaking of the mouse, the full trailer for Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Television program coming out, I guess, soon.
Yeah. Is she a Skrull in this? Is that how that works?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, I believe so.
That's why she's all on the face.
Got it.
I gotta tell, I am watching that Secret Invasion, dude, and if I never hear the word Skrull again, it would be way too fucking soon. Holy, you know what, shit.
Jack Kirby and Stan Lee were smoking pot like Skrull, sure. They never expected real adults to say that out loud.
No. And I got it. That's exactly right, dude. Some of these like comic to film or television translations, like I'll read the word Skrull, and that's totally fine. But hearing Samuel L. Jackson and Ben Mendelsohn yelling Skrull,
you can't do stuff like that because it sounds way too closely to you just saying Skull with a baby voice. Skrull! I'm going to go see a Skrull. Yeah, I got to go find all the Skulls.
You're totally right. It sucks even more now. Shit, man. All right, so here we go. Ahsoka, 823 on Disney P. Starting this trailer up, you fellas ready there?
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Alrighty. 3, 2, 1, go.
The Bishop.
Mm-hmm. Nice. One must
destroy. Is this Ray Stevenson?
I was just gonna say that, yeah. Right, right there. Yeah. We are no Jedi. Life is so fucking unfair, man. Oh, take that, old man! Oh wow, take that, old man!
I have not seen this yet. I do like it when I see an old man get killed. Absolutely.
As heir to the Here we go. They even say heir to the Empire.
Kind of liking the cinematography here. You know?
It's good, looking pretty good. Show.
It's dark, but not, I can't see it dark, which there's a difference. I've spent most of my life fighting a war. Now here we go, some cartoon people. That's why I'm trying to convince
you to help me. Do you think like halfway through this show, a different character from a different Filoni cartoon is going to come in and take over from Ahsoka?
Oh, maybe. Shit. Just maybe. Possibly.
Was that Mary Elizabeth Winstead?
Yes, as Hera, the hot Twi'lek green lady.
Got it. Oh,
very nice.
She was a Rebels character. So was Purple Hair here.
Got it.
The Purple Hair woman sometimes wears the Mando helmet.
Yes, she right? is a Mando. Sometimes you have to make the decision no one else
can. But all right.
Sabine Wren, I think the character
is. Yeah, good call. Yeah. Just, I like that haircut, like that, Sabine. Yeah. Okay.
That made the trailer. The haircut made the trailer. It's kind of weird.
You know what? I'm not seeing any de-aged puppet Mark Hamill, so I'm happy.
So far, so good. Oh, wow. Look at that. Okay.
I haven't seen Thrawn actually walk around before in front. Thrawn from the front. Nice.
Thrawn from the front. These effects are looking pretty good.
Yeah.
It's almost as if we took a little more time making this show.
Yeah.
I mean, this is probably the show that Filoni and crew wanted to make from the start, and everything else has been whatever.
Right. Two-episode premiere. Okay.
Who's Thrawn this time around?
It's Mikkelsen, right?
Yes, Lars Mikkelsen.
Yeah,
the older brother of Mads, who actually voiced him on the cartoon. And he was in the press saying he wasn't going to be in it, but he is. Oh, my God. My YouTube just went to a fucking ad with Steve Bannon on it.
Oh, yeah, there you go, dude.
Yeah, my algorithm is really good, huh?
Yeah.
What am I watching?
Good job.
Yeah. Some people in the chat here not too thrilled about Ahsoka, but I guess we'll see.
We won't be recapping it, but we might talk about it down the line in like a season recap type of deal.
We did with Andor.
I think it's interesting, but like I just think a lot of people are getting to oversaturation point with this.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I just think, and like, I think that's fair. I understand that completely.
But you know, what's funny how it's
starting out. I'm not reacting negatively to it. I don't care.
But it's never enough Star Trek, though. That's fine. Keep it coming.
The boatloads.
Hey, man. Strange New Worlds. It's great.
I hear good things. I hear really good things.
It's a really fun show that fucking looks really good. I have to say, that's like one thing Paramount's got over on these Disney shows. Like, we are putting money into the computer design of stuff. Like, the ships look really great. You know, I would recommend it heartily.
I really do want to check it out. Since I'm, you know, the only person that watched Hell on Wheels.
Yeah, you're
That's and right. Dude, your man's all over it, dude. And he's like cooking food. That's like Pike's thing, is he's a chef and wine guy.
Eric, I got to tell you, I found out there is, I'm going to send it to you later. There is a Lifetime movie starring Anson Mount.
You fucking joking?
I'm not joking.
What the fuck did we record over the other day for? That
movie. Just cancel it out.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, delete those files, Andrew. Don't release that Lifetime episode we recorded.
Yeah, fuck that. Yeah.
So now for something that at least I'm much less enthused about here.
Oh, boy.
Just whatever.
Okay.
Wonka.
I have not seen this trailer yet. I'm excited. I hope we get to see him taste chocolate for the first time.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, you wanted the fucking origin story of his fucking love affair with chocolate, dude. How did it start? How did the factory start?
I was looking for a way to kill as many dogs as possible.
But then the only thing more profitable than dog murder is selling candy.
Nobody could figure out what to do with all the poor children, so I thought of a way to drown them all.
Turn them into chocolate. Make it more of a Sweeney Todd thing.
Yeah, and sure.
Eating little kid bars. Absolutely.
I can't. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch this trailer.
We're about to do it right now. Yeah, and I have not seen this either. I don't fucking know. But this is 12:15 from Warner Brothers. Another great decision on their part as a company. The only saving grace I'll say before seeing this trailer, it's directed by Paul King, who did the two Paddington movies, which are fucking delightful.
Really
but
good.
That, I think, has way more to do with Paddington himself than the director, so I don't know. But here we go with the Wonka trailer. Oh, God, I can't even believe I'm saying it. In 3, 2, 1, go.
I've spent the past 7 years traveling the world perfecting my craft.
Oh, Timmy, don't.
Tim.
Inventor and chocolate maker. So come and listen down. Scratch that. Reverse it.
I hate this already.
No.
I'm sorry. God.
He's not suited for this, like, at all. Nope. Like, this bombast. Like, he's a good actor, but he's a quiet and, you know what I mean? Like,
you should have got a comedian or something. They've all
been crushed. Oh, what's his face from Downton Abbey?
Yeah. You can't get a shop without selling chocolate. I'm liking the cast. You can't sell chocolate
without a shop. I just, oh, no. God. No daydreaming.
Oh, I guess like kiosks are illegal in this town or whatever.
Oh yeah, not without a permit, dude.
Yeah, and the mail's not didn't exist yet, so you need a brick and mortar.
That's right. I know things haven't been easy for you. They're gonna get better. You promise?
Oh, the producer of Harry Potter, great.
Comparing this to Harry Potter is not a way to get me in the theater.
Yeah. No. What's happening? Ooh. Oh wait, is that from Peep Show?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, nice.
Oh, shit. Now he's going to have to convince everyone to fart to get back down.
I mean, no. No.
Jesus Christ. My name is Willy Wonka.
He doesn't have it. It's not.
Doesn't. It's awful.
And I normally like him. I love watching him eat people.
Yes. Sure. He's not that guy, and that's not a problem. It's just don't do this movie.
Like, I will watch him literally weeks before this rule ass as Paul Atreides, but like, no. Oh, Sally Hawkins is involved. The poor woman.
This is gonna be the greatest chocolate shop the world
Oh, fuck all of this right off.
So you're the funny little man who's been. Oh no.
Oh,
Hugh. No.
Oh, that's Hugh Grant?
Oh, yeah, that's Hugh Grant right there.
Oh, fuck everything.
Oh, so he's the first Oompa Loompa, and then he, like, makes the rest by,
he
like...
He breeds him.
Eat right. him after midnight, and then Oompa Loompa bubbles pop off his back.
That'd be great.
Little I don't know about that.
That looks abysmal, folks.
It does. It's just, like, scraping the bottom of the IP. I don't know. You want Willy Wonkers? We got Wonkers here. Because
Cruella did so well. Here's this.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. That's
poor Timmy, man. It's somebody should have told him, don't do that, dude.
Tim, you deserve better.
You do.
I think he's going to survive. I mean, like, they've, what, probably several dump trucks of money was.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean,
it looks terrifying.
Here's the thing. If you're Timmy, though, you want that to be swapped. You want Dune to be the last bite people get in the year.
I guess that's probably true.
You know what I mean? Like, or you want to dump that in the summer, and then Dune comes out in November, and it's like, man, that kid sucked in that fucking Wonka movie. Hey! You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. So it can swoop, you know, the pendulum can swing back in the other direction.
Exactly.
Holy God. Yeah. That's worse than I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Awful. Paul says it's a holiday movie. It'll make money.
It absolutely.
Probably.
Will.
Yeah. I mean,
okay. That doesn't mean it's going to be worth a goddamn, though.
You know, because everyone at home, you know, because housing prices, you can't afford shit anymore. You're sleeping in bed with your grampies right there with you.
Yes.
You got to do everything with them now. So you go to the theater with them for Wonka.
It would be more relatable if it was more talking about that, all the people who are sleeping with their grandfathers and mothers all night long. But, like, it's more of a, like, hey, small business, right? Come on. Yeah.
All the grampy polycules that are out there in England.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, Wonka filling out his fucking LLC forms and shit, trying to get the company on the books.
Someone in the chat here, Danielle, says they said they only hired him because they watched videos of him dancing.
Oh, that.
It was even worse than that. It was a character that he had while I think at NYU, or he was in high school or something, that was like, he was Timmy the rapper or something.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've seen
and like video. Supposedly like didn't have to audition because they saw whatever that was, and that was like, that's our Willy Wonka.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe ask around. Maybe just see if there was anyone else available that you may have had interest in.
Because you just need somebody with more brightness, more bombacity, and it's just no. And again, that's not every actor. That's okay. It's totally okay.
Not every actor, you know, needs to be able to do everything. And this is clearly the case. Greg here corrects me. It was not NYU, but yes, LaGuardia High School.
Might as well be NYU.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're going to LaGuardia, right?
Jan actually has it right here. Golden Ticket to The Last Action Hero. You're right, Jan. That is my fucking Golden Ticket movie. Mm-hmm. That's all I give a shit about.
Of course.
So there you go, folks. I don't know. Truly. I'm like, fuck, man. I'm almost rendered speechless by watching that. I had no clue it was going to be that bad. And I'm almost ready to apologize for adding that to trailer segment. My God. But so, you know, we'll see. Maybe we'll see in January, motherfucker. I don't know. I do not know. But anyway, on screen this weekend, of course, was Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, part one.
Mm.
Had this come out, Christopher McQuarrie, of course, directing. What do we think, fellas? Hop in.
Well, first off, I want to get something off my chest. You know, I always say I knock the British on this show, but it's because I secretly love them. And if Carrie Elwes or Hayley Atwell asked me to betray my country, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Really?
Because I love them both in this movie. Yes. And
Hell yeah, dude.
I have some problems with the movie, but I loved it. And of course, the return of Kittredge.
This should be Mission Impossible Babe Reckoning. Just the babitude in this film.
It's a pretty babelicious entry in the franchise, Steve. I will give you that. A lot of babes.
They're all looking great. They're all looking
gonna
great.
Stay like this for a while.
Very hunkalicious.
Yes,
it was also
course.
A very hunkalicious movie.
Yeah. I mean, Isai Morales, holy fuck, dude. I'm here for the Morales assance because he was great in The Master Gardener. And like that's the first time I'd seen him in a long time. I was like, oh shit, Isai Morales is in this movie. That rules. And then he's the villain in Mission Impossible, and he's really great in this movie.
Yeah, like terrifyingly so.
Yes.
I haven't seen Master Gardener yet, but I couldn't like pinpoint the last time. I saw him in something new. Yes. I didn't know. And I was like, oh man, like he's back. And like, this is something, dude, like get this guy back in motion pictures ASAP. He's got the fucking juice, man.
Yes. Question for Steve. Did you ever watch Caprica?
Yes, a little
he
bit.
He plays Joseph Adama, like
that's right.
Edward James almost his father.
Oh, I watched like two or three episodes, and I liked the cast, but then I was like, nah. And yes,
I didn't finish it either.
No. I think that was the entirety of the Battlestar fan community watched about two or three episodes and got the gist.
Sure, yeah.
Go ahead, Stabs.
No, I mean, I will say I had a lot of fun with it. I thought, I kind of think the first. I don't know. I know they're setting up. That's my problem with this. It is a part one, and all part ones
I agree.
Have a lot extra shit, and the ending can't be as final as you want it to be.
Sure.
Those are just things you have to accept going out.
It was a bullshit ending, we can say.
Well, that also, but like, I think other than the first, like the opening scene in the submarine, other than that, I think you could cut a lot of that stuff out before you hit the airport. And that's when things start going.
There's a 2-hour and 20-minute version of this movie, or a 2-hour 15 that is much better. And it has all the beats. Nothing.
Yes.
Again, there's a job of what's it called? Oh, editor. Right. Jesus Christ. that is, it's their job to make movies compressed and exciting and short, and like interesting. And I think that like,
impactful.
I think, exactly. The 248, it feels bloated, especially since, as we're talking about, doesn't really... The quote-unquote lack of an ending didn't bother me here for whatever reason.
Like,
it's the part one part of it. You know what I mean? Like, I knew that we were going to end on a question mark.
But that's going to be every movie from now on,
It's a good point. Yeah. No, it is.
I will say that I think I was surprised by the fact that I have seen this man go off that fucking cliff on that motorcycle no fewer than 35 times since they started advertising this movie. But fellas, I'm here to tell you that when it happens in the movie, you're talking this fucking ape man here had both fists in the air, fucking howling, woo-hooing. It still looked awesome. And the fact that we're catching dialogue from Ethan Hunt while he's plummeting through the sky, that was an awesome surprise.
Yeah.
The fact that like Tom Cruise is able to fucking speak lines of the movie while doing this stunt was really fucking cool. I thought like all the set pieces, like the airport set piece, which is just like your Gigundo like spy espionage set piece. It's low on action, but high on moves and tech and all that stuff was great.
Which I did appreciate. I think this movie, and I mean, I have a weird like mind blindness for these movies. Like I wind up liking them a lot, but then I forget most of the specifics and the second it's over. And it's not, you know, not the movie's fault, probably mine.
There's a lot going on in all of these movies. Yeah.
This movie, I think more than others, did a really good job of mashing the espionage and the stunt together. You know what I mean? And fighting. Cause I mean, like obviously the first one's pure espionage and then back mostly stunt goes really stunt heavy. It was nice to see a lot of spy stuff in this one.
And not to give, you know, anything away, really, we're staying like relatively spoiler free, but Chris, I know one of the things that you love so much about Ghost Protocol kind of makes a return here, which is at times in the movie, technology failing them.
Yes.
And having to, like, you know, Ethan Hunt, he's always got to improvise. The team always has to think on their feet. And like, it does it in a really cool way, like getting into the third act that I was like, nice. Mm-hmm. Like the technology failing them, the thing that happens is what sets up all the incredible stuff you see in the third act, which was really great.
We'll get a little plotty here. Just the whole AI bit, the entity thing that we keep kind of going back to as the big bad. I kept going back and forth in my head, like, is this stupid? Like, I had like that a lot.
Oh, really? I was thinking it was perfect for the times we're in.
I landed on that. I did.
Yeah. But
occasionally, like, I'm like, sometimes when it gets a little too, like, because, like, you know, Isai Morales, like, worships it in weird ways. And I'm like, what is that about? Like, and we don't really get that answer. So I'm like, is this stupid? But
I mean, I see what you're saying. And I think that, for me, the issue is, like, like it's so nakedly like the metatext is right there, right? It's Tom Cruise, the last act, the last movie star against algorithms and AI taking over the movie business.
Yeah,
right. And I like that as an idea, and I like that it's so upfront. But also, guess what I just watched? Top Gun Maverick, which is the same thing.
The beginning is fair.
A much better movie, I would say. I know, I agree.
It is.
What's his name? The guy who's with John Hamm is also in this in one scene.
Charles Parnell?
Yes.
He's great when he pops up.
Yeah. So that opens up the Kittredgeissance, dude. Henry Zerny back in this role. I would really love to hear from McQuarrie and those guys. Like, what was the impetus for this? Like, was there some, besides the four of us incessantly talking about him, like, was there some bubbling on the internet? Like, dude, Henry Zerny is fucking Kittredge. He's got to get back in the franchise, guys. It's
so interesting that they bring him back. And this movie mirrors the first movie in a lot of ways, like with the train and stuff. And it's just fascinating that they're just like, why don't we just bring that guy back from that when we're doing that?
I mean, that's probably what you're like. Hey, how do we? Let's go back to the beginning. They're like, oh wow, that guy was really good. Like, is he available? Oh shit, let's put him in the movie.
I just imagine Christopher McQuarrie hosting screenings of Ready or Not. And look, he's got the juice, fellas. Let's just do it. Come on, he really does.
Or Scream 6. He's also in Scream 6. Yes, Scream 6, of course.
Well, you know what was kind of distracting was the fact that Shea Wingham is in this movie.
Oh, I love that.
Also, with Hayley Atwell. They were on Agent Carter together. He was her boss. So I was like, let's go.
I didn't know he was on that.
Yeah. I feel like Hayley Atwell's been waiting a long time for this movie. I don't know. Like, I just like, because they kind of set her up in the first Avenger, and she's really good in that. And people like the Agent Carter show. And then but it got canceled because, you know, due to lack of interest.
It was a dumb show, but I watched it because of her and the action. The action was really good in it.
And her career is just getting kind of like, I'm waiting around. And like this, she's really good in this. It's a really cool character. I mean, it's just another in the army of very attractive women that Tom Cruise has to manage or take care of or run afoul of. Pon Clementeef, by the way.
Ooh. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. I've been waiting for a number two in an action movie this cool for a while, I think.
She's cool, and the character's a fucking psycho in, like, all the best ways. Like, that kind of, like, that Xenia Onatopp thing of, like, I'm getting horned up by violence.
Yes.
Me too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she's smiling while she's driving over cars and shit. You know what I mean?
Yes, dude. That's a great little bit. You know, not really a spoiler, but there's a part where Ethan drives a car over a bunch of scooters, and it's Tom Cruise, like, fucking scooters, right? It's just like, these are fake motorcycles, folks. That's what Ethan Hunt's telling you. Palm, I thought was totally great. Atwell, totally, totally great. Yeah, they were nice additions to the cast. And Shea Wiggum, man, this dude, it's his moment, man. He's fucking great in this as, like, one of the two Kittredge stooges. The other guy is also in Top Gun Maverick.
Yes, he's one of the guys, the pilots.
His nickname's Tarzan. I can't think of the rest of his name. But I thought the two of them were great as, like, the Kittredge Stooges. And if you want more great Shea Wiggum, you guys, that fucking, now it's abhorrent that it's canceled. That Perry Mason show on HBO.
Very good.
He's in both of those seasons. He's got way more of a larger role in the second season. He's just a great fucking actor.
Yeah.
Purchase alum.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
They produce nothing but the best talent.
Also, if you've ever, if you're a beard aficionado, which I still consider myself, the beard that Shea Wiggum is wearing these days, I saw him being interviewed on the red carpet for Mission Impossible for this movie. He is looking phenomenal.
Well, he's got this like rooster thing going on with his hair in this one. It's he's got some height.
Yeah.
It's like fucking Beavis or Butthead. Like, it's just this wall and back. It looks better on him than Beavis and Butthead.
Well, he's getting ready for his role as older Butthead, of course.
Which they do on that new show, and it's quite delightful. All that stuff with them in the airport and him just getting fucking pissed off. Like, Shea Wiggum is an actor who plays getting pissed off, like, perfectly. Mm-hmm. And shit, man, like, what do you say about that train sequence? I mean, first of all, they built the fucking train for movie.
And we are getting screwed here in America, folks. We don't have these nice European trains. Yeah, I would kill for this. Look at this thing.
No. Yeah, I mean, they, you know, falls off a cliff. But before that, it's a beautiful
train. Well, it's worth it for that dining car.
Yeah, no, I just thought that was all super cool. And, like, nice to see... You know, yeah, like it does echo the first one with, you know, having a train at the end. But this is like, now we're on a real train. Like, look how far this franchise has come. This is all real, what you're seeing here for the, you know, for the most part, obviously. But loved references to shit like the general in that last scene. There's a reference in the Italy car chase scene, I would like to thank to Battleship Potemkin.
Which it's to Fast X, actually. That's
more important. Dude, that honestly is the funniest thing. Is like, there are two movies this summer that have a chase scene down those steps in Italy, and one of them is Mission Impossible, and like you're seeing the money on the screen, and the other one is Wacky Racers, fucking cartoon cars. And I am sorry, Vin Diesel, you got beat this summer, man.
They even have a better Wacky Racers bit in this.
Actually true. Yeah, with the little Fiat.
With the Fiat. Taking a little punch at Italian culture. I like it.
Those cars will never not be funny to me. yeah, so, you know, we'll see where this Dead Reckoning Part 2, you know, lands next summer. It's not like it'll be canceled or something. Like, yes, this was a soft opening, but the movie will fucking come out.
I mean, I know that it's they're shooting it. It had to go on hiatus because of the strike.
Yeah. So, I mean, the date might move, but like the movie will come out. And that's actually a good point, too. Another thing just to bring up about like the budget for this, like this was like $290 million. I would argue a lot of that you see on screen versus some other movies. But also part of the reason that budget got so jacked up was due to pandemic delays and all of that shit. So like when we're talking about, you know, the very real issue, the need for budgets to come down, I would just say that, like, if you're out there having that conversation, this movie probably isn't one to use as an example because of just the constant delays and literally trying to make this movie during some of the worst parts of the pandemic.
Well,
yeah,
well why bother when you got the Flash right there? You know, it's right there. It's right there.
You got that. Indy 5, yes. Elemental. Those are three that you could... You could use for your arguments with your friends in the basement. Sipping on Miller High Life and arguing about movies like I'm sure so many of you do here.
Some of them do it at bars during the day and are just very lonely. So don't, you know, it's not all basement talk.
It's not all basement talk. Yeah, so, you know, we'll see. But it was a fun time at the movies, gang. I'll say that. So, you know, that was literally all that we cared about at the box office this week. But, you know, on the home video front, you know, every once in a while you get some actors that have been involved in some big things, you know, and you know, they make themselves, you know, household names to various degrees. But every once in a while, these folks start putting out movies that if you're not, you know, coming into that rental interface with an eagle eye, you are going to miss them. And we try to collect some of those to let you all know about them and maybe recommend them, but more likely caution you against them in a segment we like to call Secret Movie. Now, we got two here for you. Steve, I'll hand the reins over to you here because this one that you watched had a little bit of a theatrical release, but not really any kind of a footprint, so it counts as a secret movie. Nope. Tell us all about your viewing experience with Nefarious.
I had... Look at that poster, look by at the that
way. Fucking, he's like shaking his head.
Nefarious. Oh, and then there's... All
right. Who's that other guy, Steve?
Exactly. Who is that other guy, indeed? He's a nobody, and that's the problem. Well, I mean, like, we saw the trailer, you know, got home late the other night. We're like, you know, what do you want to watch? Looking at different stuff. And it was a 90-minute movie. And my wife and I are suckers for like serial killer movies and movies mm-hmm. that clearly have a really stupid twist in them that are going to be like that should have come out 25 years ago. And like, yeah. Oh, let me give this to Ferris try. Didn't even Google anything about it. I saw Sean Patrick Flannery's in it. It's like, awesome. That's going to be really bad.
So
exactly what I'm looking for. And 15 minutes in, 20 minutes in, I'm like, oh no. Is this a Christian movie? Because like certain, because basically the idea is this guy who's an absolute nobody, I'll look up his name, is a prison doctor or is a psychiatrist who has to evaluate Sean Patrick Flannery the day of his execution, because apparently in Oklahoma, if you are, you could be deemed too crazy to be executed up to it, including the day of your execution. So then I mean, that's in the movie anyway. And he has to like, is this guy crazy or is he actually possessed by a demon? And guess what he is? He's possessed by a demon.
Oh, and Steve, was the character Dr. James Martin?
Yes.
So it's played by a fella named Jordan Belfi, who you may know from 14 episodes as Adam Davies on Entourage.
Nope.
Oh, would not know.
Yeah.
I see
a lot of TV credits.
Also here it says Glenn Beck as Glenn Beck. Is that the demon?
That's dude. So like it's like a demon and he's like, oh, I'm a bad evil demon, like Sean Patrick Flannery's doing his best here, and as the other guy from the Boondock Saints, and he's basically doing his best, and then like eventually he starts talking, he's like, you James are gonna commit 3 murders by the time you leave here. And it's like the first one he's like, remember when your mother was in hospice and you allowed her to take her own life? That was murder, James. I'm like,
oh,
this
no.
is a secret Christian movie.
So. Oh, no.
Yeah. And then the second one, he's like, what about your girlfriend, James? Your girlfriend right now who's actually at the clinic, isn't she? His girlfriend is getting an abortion while the movie is happening.
Wow, what are the odds?
And you let it happen, and that's murder.
That's number two. That's murder. Mark? Yes. And he's like, well, I love the idea of like being in a serious relationship with somebody and, you know, deciding to terminate pregnancy for any reason you'd want. And then being like, see you later, baby. I left your money for the Uber fare. Like, you've got to go, dude. You can't.
Right.
Yeah, totally. That's an all day
you
event.
You gotta be a gentleman.
Yes.
Who are you, fucking Damone from Fast Times? Come on.
And then the third one is he winds up signing this dude's death warrant, so he kills him. And like, you know, the movie is really just a bad two-hander. It's really a lot of them going back and forth about evil and shit. And the biggest twist was that Glenn Beck is in the movie for the last 15 minutes. He goes on the
15 minutes.
He goes on the Glenn Beck show and explains. I am not kidding.
That's amazing.
Legitimate question though. What Glenn Beck show?
Mm. I think that he's got something somewhere.
Is there some internet thing?
Yes, yeah.
Some Glenn Beck dot shit or something.
That's exactly it, Eric. So you're a watcher, a fan.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, a big fan.
It's amazing. And like the angle is so, like, because it's like it's his studio, his set.
Yeah.
And they keep cutting to Glenn Beck on the wrong side going like this. And I'm like, dude, you'd be blocking your own camera if you do. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how do you fuck that up? Anyway, definitely don't watch it. Definitely don't accidentally give money to the guys who did God Isn't Dead and Unplanned and shit, which I accidentally did. So don't do that.
Oof. That's fucking brutal, man. But see, we're doing, ironically, the Lord's work. By fucking telling people not to watch these movies. That sounds abhorrent. And thank you, Steve, because I have seriously been this close to renting that movie at least 3 or 4 times.
Sure. It looks like a spooky, scary film.
Yeah.
And it is not.
Oh, look at this. A series chiming in here. Shut the fuck up. Should deactivate that thing when we're on the air here. So I got another one here. Want to warn you all against this one, too. The Black Demon.
Mm.
Oh. We love shark movies, don't we, folks? We just love shark.
Oh, they got rid of the subtitle. It's The Black Demon, The Tench. Tench is the name of it. They just, you know, there was a problem with the lawsuit, so they couldn't say trench. But
this is a movie where you got yourself a big fucking cartoon shark being fought by family man Josh Lucas. Now get this. So Josh Lucas plays a guy who works for an oil company.
Wow.
Okay. And so He has to go down to, they film this in the DR, but I think they're telling you this is like Baja.
Sure.
And it's, so he's got to go down and it's this like, all right, baby, all I'm going to do is quickly do a safety check on this oil rig. And then me, you and the two kids can have a fun vacation in Mexico. Mm. And like right from the opening scenes, it's like, look at all these dangerous, scuzzy Mexicans eyeing us every which way we walk. Oh, my God.
You know, this makes sense. I just saw this guy directed Rambo Last Blood.
Oh, boy.
That makes total sense.
Yep. Right. Dude, because
my heart.
So much of this fucking movie is like, you think like Taken is about to start.
Oh, boy.
Like that kind of shit.
What about the shark? Jim
Caviezel's going to jump out?
Yeah, what about the shark?
Dude, let me tell you, there's very little shark in this movie.
The shark is like, he's like, help me get rid of these Mexicans.
But like you get like a cold open with the shark and then it is like nothing but dangerous looking dudes for like 30 minutes of this movie. And then finally it's like they get out to this oil rig where like these two dudes are left there and all the other staff has been like eaten by this big megalodon fucking thing.
Sure.
But it's the black demon because these dudes are espousing a so-called like Aztec myth about this, which I think this is supposedly based on some sort of actual myth. Sure. About the black demon that eats fishermen and whatnot. So this is what we're stealing it from. Mm. But so it's all this like mysticism around like, is it even a real animal or is this literally like some sort of religious hell demon? And the whole time I'm like, someone get eaten by a fucking shark, please.
Yeah.
And I mean, like what? Yeah.
No, I mean, that's what I was also, when I was watching The Meg, I was also saying that. I think this is the thing with shark movies now. We can't just have a shark movie. It has, has to be like, isn't it huge? Look how big it is.
Yeah.
Just get chomping, dude.
Please.
Get chomping. Like, it doesn't matter the size of the shark because it's a fucking shark eating people.
Yeah, that's all I care about right there.
Any size is fine. But then it's like, uh-oh, he's actually this, like, crooked oil company guy who's been signing off all these safety forms when the rig wasn't safe. And he knew it, but the oil company, you know, pressured him to sign off on it or else he'd be fired and all this fucking shit.
So that's
shit.
A sin.
Is the shark involved in international, in corporate espionage? Is that what we're talking about?
You know, if the shark was involved in anything, it would have been fucking great. But so like, this is what was crazy though. Like, Steve, at the same time you were texting us about like, holy shit, Nefarious is a secret Christian movie. Technically speaking, holy shit, The Black Demon is a secret Christian movie because like...
the shark goes on Glenn Beck.
So, Bitey... No, but this is just like Josh Lucas is getting ready. And of course, he's the only one that can face off against this shark.
Sure.
And he's like getting ready to do the dive. And like his little teenage dirter, like out of nowhere, grabs him by the wrist, stops the movie fucking dead and just goes, hey, everybody, shouldn't we pray about this first?
Oh,
and literally every alive character in this movie joins hands and says like a full length prayer.
So the shark starts to shrink, like, no, you're ruining me.
The one thing that could get me Christian prayer. I could not fucking believe it, folks. And it's abysmal. It is a real, I never gave a half star quicker to anything on Letterboxd in my life. Just garbage. And like the script is garbage. Like, and like, at one time, Josh Lucas was in like some good things here and there. And like, so I've seen him deliver. At least like dialogue competently, but like this script is so fucking bad.
He's a really good actor. There's a not, I mean, probably now a little long ago, probably like a decade ago, there's a movie called The Mend that was really good with him in it. But I guess like I always assumed he does Lowe's, right? I assumed that was good enough money for him at this. I mean,
yeah, right?
I mean, that's I guess forever not. Money, I would assume.
I don't know, man. Maybe he like felt bad like taking the juice from Gene Hackman and quit it. But yeah, and like, you know, the woman who plays his wife Inez is this actress Fernanda Urrejola, who some of you dudes saw in Cry Macho. I did not see that.
Yeah.
But she's also Narcos Mexico. She was on that Party of Five reboot.
Ooh, you got to watch Cry Macho.
It's so good.
It's so, it's ridiculous, but it's worth it.
It's probably better than The Black Demon.
It would have
I will say that. But yeah, so stay away from those two secret movies, gang, if you see those on your rental interface, because good God almighty, literally, sounds like there's some terrible stinkers out there. But that's going to do it, gang, for this week's On Screen Live. Of course, now, this is just the start to our week here at the WHM home office. So remember, out now, it just dropped last Thursday on our Patreon, the latest episode of Melrose 210, where we go long talking about Jim Walsh getting humiliated by his family up close and personal. Amanda Woodward being humiliated by her family up close and personal. So it's a fun as fuck episode.
Absolutely.
And then next week, tomorrow on the main feed, the penultimate episode of season 13 premieres. Us talking American Pie 2 with our good friend Angelica Jade Bastien, who stopped by. Here's us having a laugh. Mm-hmm. Having a laugh while doing the show.
It was a lot of fun. You guys have to tune into that.
Absolutely. So that's going on. And then on Thursday, back on patreon.com/wehatemovies, our Star Trek recap show, The Nexus, will be dropping, talking to TOS and a TNG as we start winding down on TOS. Just a few episodes remain, but that's going to be a lot of fun. And so remember, gang, tune in, of course, next Monday. We'll be back here at 12 p.m. Eastern on our YouTube channel for what will be the finale of On Screen Live. We're going to go on a summer hiatus after next week, but what a big bombastic, barbastic week to go on. We got Barbenheimer coming out, so we'll have reactions to those movies and a whole lot more here on Screen Live. But until next week, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadek.
Eric Siskin.
Chris Cabin.
Have a good week, folks. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.